Good morning, everyone, and a good morning to my men's Bible class and also to others that may be listening this morning to our Sunday school lesson. The Sunday school lesson is on this May the 31st, 2020, is the risen Lord sends out his servants. And we'll be reading from the 28th chapter of Matthew, which is the final chapter in Matthew. But before we go to our scripture reading, I'd like to have a word of prayer. And let's remember, as you join with me in this prayer, remember those of our congregation that are suffering from the loss of a loved one. And in this case, the Harmon family. Remember to pray for Vicky and the children in the loss of their husband and father, husband and their father, and also to pray for Dudley Broussard, who is now in the Sanctuary Hospice in Tupelo. So keep Dot in your prayers and the rest of his family as we continue to pray for all of those that are in need this morning for our prayers. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we do come with heavy hearts because we grieve in the death of one of our Christian brothers, Jerry Harmon. Father, a dear friend to all of us, we grieve because we miss him, and we will continue to miss him for many days. But then, Lord, we rejoice in the fact that we know that he is in the arms of Jesus right now. Father, that he gave his life to Christ. And that promise of being with him has been fulfilled. Father, we also pray for Dudley Broussard as he is in Sanctuary Hospice. We pray for Dot and the rest of the family, Father. Give them strength through this time of trial that they may be able to lean on Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. And Father, there are others, many friends, some members of our church that need our prayers as well. But we pray this morning, Father, that as we study this portion of your holy word, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to instill within us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to understand the words that we're about to read and study. Impress on us the need to be in your word daily, studying and learning more about you. So again, be with us this morning as we study this lesson. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. So now we read from the 28th chapter of Matthew. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest all that had taken place. And when they assembled with the elders and taken counsels, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, the last chapter of Matthew's gospel focuses on the resurrection of Christ and his commission to his church to bring that gospel to all the nations. There are two themes here, and they're connected. Of course, Christ's resurrection demonstrates to us that he is the Son of God, the one that has all authority in heaven and on earth to send out his messengers with the good news of a relationship with God through his death and resurrection. And that speaks to us as well. Those of us who have been entrusted with this good news to share with the nations. The first theme this morning is the resurrection that we'll look at. Now, Jesus was crucified on a Friday, just before the Sabbath. And he was raised immediately after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week. Now, you may have a question about that how this constitutes 3 days later, that where it's found in Matthew 26:21. Well, the answer is that according to the Jewish system of counting days, partial days are counted as if it was a whole day. So you have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday equals 3 days. Now, the first day of the week is very fitting for this because for most of us, in this world today, the first day of the week is what? Well, it's Sunday. And that's the day that we consider being the first day of the week in the time that we would worship. It's a fitting day for a new creation. To be begun by the resurrecting of Jesus. Now, on the first day of the week after the Passover, that was when the first fruits of the harvest were to be presented in the sanctuary. So, even as they were making this offering in the temple, Jesus was being raised from the dead. So, in other words, the full harvest from all of this would be celebrated 50 days later at Pentecost. So the pouring out of the Spirit at Pentecost, then that ensures us that the full harvest of those to whom Christ has given eternal life as they come to bear his likeness. Now, in our passage today, there were several appearances of the risen Christ. And out of those several appearances of Jesus that are recorded in the other Gospels, Matthew focuses on the appearance to the women and that to the disciples once they had returned to Galilee. A fulfillment of the promise in Isaiah 9:2 says that the light would come first to Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, Jesus would return there before his final departure, and he would commission his followers to go out from there to bring good news to Gentiles as well as the Jews. And so the earthly ministry then had begun in that unpromising backwater of compromisers, half-breed Jews that were looked down upon by all the other Jews as being unfit to even be called a Jew. Well, there's more to this story. There was a cover-up. Now, we're used to hearing about cover-ups, mostly in Washington, D.C. In fact, we almost hear about it weekly now, about there being a cover-up about something. So this story that we have here in this passage about the soldiers falling asleep and the disciples stealing the body was widely disseminated among the Jews of the day. And that it's even recorded in a lot by a lot of the other Jewish writers of that particular time. And so this was a story that the religious leaders were trying to make sure that the disciples did not steal the body. And now they're being told that the body is missing and that he is risen, and the soldiers gave them all the information. So they're going to cover it up. Now, you could look at this a lot of different ways, but we know that the disciples were discouraged. They were scattered after Jesus' crucifixion. And they were just really not in no way in a state of mind to plan some kind of organized theft of Jesus' body. And two, it was being guarded by soldiers. Now, the account of the squad of soldiers all falling asleep on job and not even noticing the theft of a body, including the rolling away of the large stone, is just unlikely. The disciples themselves were so convinced that they had seen the risen Christ that they were all willing to be martyred for that belief and would be. All of them believed that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. So it's impossible if some of them, that any of them could have stolen the body, because they believed they had seen the risen Christ. So the second theme of our lesson today is about the Great Commission. You know, when we read about the Great Commission, it's as if the central command in it is to go. And that is part of it. But however, the single most important sentence in the Great Commission is make disciples. So in other words, while we are going, we are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them. So the central calling of the church is not simply to make converts who make a decision for Jesus. It's to make disciples. Disciples who will submit their lives to the teachings of Jesus. And of course, part of that involves baptism, because baptism marks us out as being followers of the crucified and raised Messiah. In other words, we are baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. This is, and this is probably one of the earliest references to the Trinity in the Bible, that Christians are baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's very important. We need to always remember what baptism really means and what it does. It doesn't confer salvation, that's for sure, any more than circumcision did under the old covenant. But an unbaptized Christian would be sort of bizarre, just as would an uncircumcised Jew. So true baptism requires a birth from above. And to make it effective, it includes then a call to a life of radical obedience. Now, be not mistaken. We are not saved by obedience to the teachings of Jesus. Be very clear on that. But it is Christ's death as a ransom that redeems us from our sins. And those who have been redeemed are given a new life by the Spirit, and they become a new creation, as we spoke of earlier in the lesson. That is evidences of their devotion to God's Word. The book of Acts shows us that the apostles that are fulfilling the Great Commission, as they bring the gospel first to Jerusalem and Judea and then Samaria and then, as Jesus said, to the ends of the earth. So in one sense, the Great Commission is completed by the end of Acts, with the gospel being proclaimed in Caesar's household in Rome. But yet, you know, in another sense, the commission will not be complete until the end of the age, when Christ returns to gather the full harvest. Now, the commission applies especially to those called by God to be pastors and teachers. Christ has gifted his church with just such people to build it up into its full maturity. And we're told that in Ephesians. In other words, this task cannot be carried out in our own authority or with our own strength. As the psalmist reminds us, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. In other words, unless the Lord builds his house, our best efforts will be in vain. So we should therefore labor in prayer, asking God to give us the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit in order to do the things necessary to build his house. And we also must remain mindful of the end of the age. This is the final word of Jesus that Matthew left with his hearers. I will be with you until the end of the age. That should be an encouragement to us in our weakness. It should be a challenge to us when we're lazy and half-hearted. But it also should be an assurance when we feel abandoned or we feel alone that we're not being seen or heard. That the Lord is with us. His church will be built. His sheep will be gathered. And his banquet will be full. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against him. What a great message to us. Let's look at a few points here. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, dead people don't rise? Well, I suppose those that don't believe in the resurrection would say that. You know, but if they did, then there would be nothing remarkable about Christianity. But you know, Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. So the fact that there is a resurrection for Christians one day is important to us. Yes, dead people, they don't rise every day. No, that statement could be said to be true. But those of us that know God's word, we do know that we will rise one day. Now, that resurrection is our assurance of the success of Jesus' mission to save a people for himself. Since the Father raised Jesus from the dead, it proves that his offering atoned for our sins. And because Jesus has risen from the dead, we may have confidence that all those who trust in Christ will also one day rise from the dead. Now, this is also an opportunity, as we read about the Great Commission, for us as a people to reflect on our own involvement in world and local missions. And it doesn't just include missionaries going to distant places like China and Africa and other places, Pakistan and other places in the world. But it includes praying for and supporting missionaries on the field. Giving to missions to help support them. But it also includes reaching out to our neighbors and friends with the good news. And it also includes teaching in adult and children's Sunday school classes. All of these are ways that we can spread the gospel. You know, it's imperative upon us to make disciples. In other words, to call people to commit to Jesus as their Master and Lord. And that explains the full focus of the Great Commission. And Matthew ends this chapter, as I just said before, with these words, I am with you always. I am with you always. You know, that's a great way for Matthew to end his gospel, with that crucial element of discipleship. The presence of the Master who is God with us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this portion of your holy word that we have just read and we have studied it, Father, I trust that all of us have learned from it. I trust that all of us that have heard these words will look at our lives, will look at our Christian lives, and ask ourselves, are we involved in the Great Commission? What have I done? Have I taught others about Jesus? Have I told others about Jesus and his saving grace? Or have I been half-hearted and lazy and said, well, I'll let somebody else do that? That's not what the Great Commission said. It said to go ye into all the world and proclaim that gospel. Well, I'm not capable. Jesus said, I'm with you. I'll give you the words to say, and I will teach you what you need to lead others to me. What a reassuring thing it is that we know that God is with us every day, every hour, every minute, every second, forever. He is with us. And Jesus is there to hold our hand. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.